Good to see you all. Hugs and love to you all. And thank you for your prayers and prayers on behalf of all of us. Glad you could join us on this 13th of August, 2023, as we reach the last half of a year, 2023. And time is going quickly. I'd like to share a small story with you all before we have a song. A boy was enjoying his school holidays with his grandparents on their farm. His grandfather gave him a slingshot to play with. He practiced in the paddock, but could not hit target no matter how hard he tried. Discouraged, he headed home. On the way, he saw Grandma's pet duck. Impulsively, he let fly with the slingshot, and wouldn't you know it, he hit Grandma's duck square in the head and killed it instantly. Shocked and grieved, and in great anger at himself, in a mad panic, he carefully hid its body, only to see his sister watching. She said nothing. After lunch next day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." Sally said, "Grandma, Alfred told me he wanted to help." Alfred being her brother. "Alfred told me he wanted to help." Then Sally whispered to Alfred, "Remember the duck?" So Alfred did the dishes. Later, Grandpa asked both children to go fishing with him, but Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help me make dinner." Sally smiled and said, "Well, that's all right. Alfred told me he wants to help." She whispered again, "Remember the duck?" Sally went fishing. Alfred stayed and helped. After several days, he couldn't stand it any longer. Alfred sheepishly went to Grandma and confessed he killed her pet duck. Grandma knelt down beside him and gave him a big hug and said, "Sweetheart, I know. I was standing at the window. I saw the whole thing, but because I love you, I forgave you. I was wondering just how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." What's the moral of the story? It's a bit like that with us and our sin. Satan wants to hold you captive. Jesus wants to set you free. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. When Satan keeps throwing your past failings in your face, know that God was standing at the window, so to speak. He saw the whole thing. He has seen your whole life. He has seen my whole life. He wants you to know that he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. Jesus has paid the full price of your sin and mine. You are forgiven. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. I've chosen the next song in Christ in Song, and I'm not sure if anyone's going to know it. I certainly was one that didn't know it. I've just had the privilege of listening to the tune that someone posted on YouTube, and it's called Drifting Away from the Savior, and I'll put it in the room, so if anyone knows it or learns it quickly to share in the singing of it, please feel free to do so. Okay, so let us start. Drifting away from the Savior, casting reproach on the Lord, drifting away from his temple, heeding no longer his word, drifting away, drifting away, drifting away, drifting away, drifting away from the Savior, drifting, still drifting away. Drifting away from the Savior, slighting and grieving his love. Drifting away from the mansions he is preparing above. Drifting away, drifting away, drifting away, drifting away, drifting away from the Savior, drifting, still drifting away. Drifting away from the Savior, lonely and helpless thou art. Drifting away from his people, ever so dear to his heart. Drifting away, drifting away, drifting away, drifting away, drifting away from the Savior, drifting, still drifting away. Drifting away from, excuse me. Drifting away from the Savior, he who has shown you the way. Drifting away from his teaching, farther and farther each day. Drifting away, drifting away, drifting away, drifting away, drifting away from the Savior, drifting, still drifting away. Drifting away from the Savior, still he is mindful of thee. Come unto him and believe in pardon through grace thou shalt be. Drifting away, drifting away, drifting away, drifting away, drifting away from the Savior, drifting, still drifting away. And you know what's good about this song is none of that has to be our experience, but drawing to Christ, drawing closer to him, the more the trials, the tribulations come your way, especially when they seem impossible, because of course by ourselves they are impossible to overcome. And it's only the one who knows their helplessness and their hopelessness, that although that looks like really weak, it's actually invincible because they're trusting in one that's outside and above themselves, who has conquered sin and will do it through us as well. Our Savior, his name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, before we pick up where we left off last week in Revelation chapter 21, let's have a word of prayer. And would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? And thank you for the previous ones as well. And thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, for being in control of all things, for thy great love, compassion, watchful care, and divine protection. We ask for thy presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit and heavenly angels as well, to be all around us in this meeting. For we meet here in the name of Jesus, our Savior. We pray, dear Spirit, that you will inspire our dear brother to bring before us the word of life. Please open our understanding to comprehend the things that are shared and to have memories that are quick and retentive, that we will not forget what has been shared, but study it for ourselves, that it may become part of us. We thank you, dear Father, that you know all the reasons behind what is taking place with the website and the emails and all of that issue. We leave it in thy most capable hands and thank you for turning it into a victory, even though it appears to be a defeat at the moment. We also thank you that we're a day closer to getting off of this wicked world and going home. Please help us to get ourselves ready and prepared, with our lamps trimmed and burning bright to illuminate the lovely face of our Savior. And Spirit, please take the truth, glorify our Lord, and let the light of the gospel of salvation fill this dark world as the waters cover the sea. We thank you, Father, for the great privilege of being co-laborers with thee and seeking to save the lost. We ask for your multiplying blessings in taking the truth that has been shared with others and spreading it far and wide. Continue to raise up other laborers and send them into thy harvest field, for it is white. Thank you so much for doing so, for being here in our midst, and for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord for the privilege of prayer, and thank you, brother. Sister Lucy is with me. She's just in a, the wheelchair. No, she doesn't have a wheelchair. She's in a special, reclining chair. Thank you, Lucy. I wasn't checking if you're awake. And welcome, Brother Dick, Sister Jean, Sister Joan, Brother Joel, and everyone else. Glad you could join us, and those who might be listening to the recording. So I'll bring up the Bible, and let's make a review of last week. So last week We looked at, actually, I will put the review in the room, much easier to follow. The pearly gates are all alike. There is but one way, only one way to enter Jesus. Jesus is the way. We read about the pearly gates, and one pearl makes a gate. The pearl, as we learnt last week, is formed by the life fluid, or you might have already known this, is formed by the life fluid of the oyster covering a foreign substance. The pearls of heaven represent the abundant righteousness of Christ, called forth by sin, but which, flowing full and free, covers every blemish in the character to which it is applied. Well put, Mr. Haskell. Brother Haskell, one of the SDA pioneers. And I found this interesting. This is an additional note from last week. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass, I was about to say. Revelation 21, verse 21. Transparent, of course, is seeing through it distinctly, specifically. Just like the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Revelation 21, verse 18. Which would be unlike the translucent, which is semi-transparent. You can see objects, etc., but not distinctly. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, which we found was iaspis in Greek, which is translucent, but not transparent, like the interesting gold that makes the streets of the city. We also looked at a number of quotes regarding how many gates are there to the city proper, and is there a special entrance other than the 12 gates mentioned in the Bible? And here were some of the quotes. The portals of the city of God are widely open. That's from Bible Echo. Then the portals of the city of God are open wide. That's Youth Instructor. The angels in the city cried out with rapture. That's as Jesus was approaching after the ascension. That's story of redemption. Another quote, as they approach, that's the angels with Jesus, the escorting angels address the company at the gate in triumphant tones. One selected messages. A quote from Review and Herald, July 21, 1851, paragraph 3, angels were all about us as we marched over the sea of glass to the gate of the city. Jesus raised his mighty glorious arm, laid hold of the pearly gate, and swung it back on its glittering hinges, and said to us, "You have washed your robes in my blood, stood stiffly for my truth. Enter in." We all marched in and felt we had a perfect right in the city. And I probably should have stressed the next very verse, "Here we saw," and of course that's the next thing after going through that gate, "the tree of life and the throne of God. Out of the throne came a pure river of water, and on either side of the river was the tree of life. On one side of the river was a trunk of a tree, and a trunk on the other side of the river, both of pure transparent gold." Another quote from Word to the Little Flock, it says, "Jesus raised his mighty glorious arm, laid hold of the gate, and swung it back on its golden hinges, and said to us, 'You've washed your robes in my blood, stood stiffly for my truth, enter in.'" Isaiah 26:2. "We all marched in and felt we had a perfect right in the city. Here we saw." And then, this is from the Daystar. She brings out what John brought out. Well, at a different timing. "Then we looked up and saw the great city with 12 foundations, 12 gates, 3 on each side, and an angel at each gate. And all cried out, 'The city, the great city, it's coming down from God, out of heaven.' And it came and settled on the place where we stood. Then we began to look at the glorious things outside of the city." And of course, that's after the wicked are destroyed. Sinners are no more. And then, of course, I'm not sure I shared this quote with you, but I certainly mentioned that I've got to find it. And that was, and I don't know why I don't tell, this is from the Great Controversy. It says, "By command of Jesus, the gates of the New Jerusalem are closed and the armies of Satan surround the city and make ready for the onset." Looking at it from the point of view of the people in the city, if you're looking that way, you'd see three gates. Looking that way, it'd be three gates, whichever way you look, because there's 12 gates all up. Now, I brought up the point also last week. Note, after the 1,000 years, destruction of the wicked, after the new heaven and the new earth, the gates will never be closed. It says in Revelation 21:25, "And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." Now, did brother brought up a point about what side would, if that gate spoken of that Jesus went through and the angels went through, and of course the saved went through, that would seem to strongly suggest, because Jesus is of the tribe of Judah, which is one of the 12 gates. And we're told in Numbers 2, verse 3, and on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, shall they have the standard of the camp of Judah pitched throughout their armies. And Nashon, the son of Amminadab, shall be captain of the children of Judah. Numbers 2, verse 3. But then we get a different statement, and this was much further along in history, and perhaps this is the direction it will be. Either or, it does not matter too much if we can just be part of it. And this is a quote from Ezekiel 48, verse 31. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel, three gates northward. So instead of east, it's northward. One gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, which means Judah's in the middle, and one gate of Levi, Ezekiel 48 and verse 31. Quite fitting. It's like King of the Kings, King of Kings, King of the North. King from upwards and downwards to us all. So that's roughly what we looked at last week. And then we pick it up in verse 22. And who would like to read that and share any insights, comments, questions? Please go ahead.
And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it.
Amen. Thank you, dear bro. A short but profound statement is every sentence of the Bible for a reason. So we have the word temple used here, which in the Greek is naos. The word for the sanctuary is confined to the holy and most holy places, not including the outer courts and other buildings. Hieron, the word for the entire sacred enclosure, is used elsewhere in the Bible, like Luke 2:46 and Revelation 3:12. The earthly sanctuary was symbolic of the dwelling place of God. Because of their sin, we know that Adam and Eve were driven from Eden and the presence of God. When sin has been removed, the church will again be able to dwell in his presence, and no structure will be required to symbolize the dwelling of God. It was in the Garden of Eden. And so, I got a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy on this, actually. It's probably a lot more than this, but this was one choice statement said about it, and perhaps we could ask a brother or sister to read it to us all. And thank you. I'll just put it in the room.
I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Revelation 21:22. The people of God are privileged to hold open communion with the Father and the Son. Now we see through a glass darkly, 1 Corinthians 13:12. We behold the image of God reflected as in a mirror in the works of nature and in his dealings with men. But then we shall see him face to face without a dimming veil between. We shall stand in his presence and gaze upon the glory of his countenance. Story of Redemption, page 432. What a time that will be.
Indeed. Yeah. It reminds me of a vision when Ellen White was in vision. She'd say, I could sense something of the glory that surrounded me. And I just remember being so moved by it. And then, of course, the voices of the singers singing of the angels. Well, in a book called 101 Questions About Ellen White and Her Writings, question number 17, was Ellen White wrong about a temple in the New Jerusalem? The temple in the New Jerusalem. This is the author of this book, I've been approached by a person who read early writings and is questioning the matter of Ellen White's seeing a temple in the New Jerusalem in her vision. This person is asking how Mrs. White could have seen a temple when this is the questioner, not the author of this book. This person is asking how Mrs. White could have seen a temple there when John the Revelator says there wasn't one in that city. Revelation 21 verse 22, what the Elder Bob just read. The vision is described in early writings, page 32, paragraph 2, and on, I've lost a bit of info here. I think that's enough info, though. Page 32, paragraph 2. And the answer to your question is actually quite clear biblically. Revelation 21 describes events that happen after the final destruction of sin, depicted in Revelation 20. When there is no more sin, there is no more need of a temple. But while sin remains, there is a temple with its ministry for dealing with sin. This is what Hebrews refers to in places such as Hebrews chapter 8 verses 1 and 2 and chapter 9 verse 11. Jesus is now our high priest in the heavenly sanctuary or temple, applying the benefits of his atoning sacrifice to our cases and wrapping up the final issues in the great controversy. In early writings, Mrs. White was shown the present situation, not the one that will exist after the destruction of sin. So her view of the heavenly sanctuary is in line with what the Bible teaches on this subject. Okay. With that thought, though, so that's the end of quote from that book. With that thought, though, because temple and sanctuary can have, and tabernacle, I ask the question, because we're told the Apostle John informs us, and I saw no temple, verse 22, the word temple from the Greek Strong's Concordance is number 3485. As I mentioned, it's in Greek, it's naos. It means to dwell, a fane, shrine, temple, sanctuary, therein. And John goes on, as Brother Bob just read, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Okay, so that's interesting. They're the dwelling of it. They're the shrine, if you will. They're the dwelling of it. Revelation 21:22. But if you think about it, there is something else to ask. But in this same chapter, which is Revelation 21, we are also informed, and this is from same chapter, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold the tabernacle. And the word tabernacle from Greek Strong Concordance, 4633, in Greek is skene, or skin, which means a tent, booth, tabernacle, habitation. So very similar to the other Greek word naos, because habitation, dwelling. The tabernacle equals, in this verse, let me read the verse first. I'm giving the definitions as I go. I think that confuses things. So in Revelation 21 verse 3, which I could bring up on the screen, which would be a lot easier for you. In Revelation 21 verse 3, we are told, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Interesting. So the word tabernacle in this verse is number 4633. It means, in Greek, it's skene, and so tent, booth, tabernacle, habitation. The tabernacle in this instance could be seen as the holy city, the New Jerusalem, that has the Garden of Eden in it, which is very similar to the beginning of the Bible, isn't it? Well, why do I bring that up? Because I want to ask you all the question, and I think you all know it, the answer. Is there another temple, tabernacle, also? Amen. That's right. Amen. There is. And I went out to find every time it's mentioned, though I'm not sure if it's exhaustive, but I'll put it in the room. But of course it's not in your New Jerusalem. As we'll see, we'll look at the quotations, but amen. Yes. Yes is the answer. There is another temple. And, who would like to read these quotes regarding it? I've underlined and bolded a bit to bring out the tension specifically, but who would like to read this to us all?
What do you want read, dear brother?
All of it.
Him that overcometh, excuse me, will I make a pillar? I guess my voice is going to give out on me. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you for trying, sis. If it comes back, please read to us. Perhaps I could read it. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. There's that word temple. And he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. So that's by Jesus, Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. A quote from Revelation 7:15. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. What is this temple? What is being referred to here? Well, here's a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy. She says, Mount Zion was just before us, and on the mount was a building which looked to me like a temple. About it were seven other mountains, so there was eight all up, on which grew roses and lilies. I saw the little ones climb, or if they chose, use their little wings and fly to the top of the mountains and pluck the never-fading flowers. There were all kinds of trees to beautify the place, the box, pine, fir, olive, myrtle, and pomegranate, and the fig tree bowed down with the weight of its timely figs, made the place all over glorious. As we were about to enter the temple, okay, so she said it looked like a temple, now she says, as we were about to enter the temple, Jesus raised his lovely eyes and said, only the 144,000 enter this place. And we shouted, hallelujah. See, God's speaking to us right now, specifically the potential. The temple was supported by seven pillars, all of transparent gold, set with pearls most glorious. The things I saw there I can but faintly describe. Oh, that I could talk in the language of Canaan, then could I tell something of the glory of the better world. I saw their tables of stone in which the names of the 144,000 were engraved in letters of gold. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Revelation chapter 3 verse 12. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Revelation 7:15. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, the city. Revelation 21:22. Now, I think the temple used here, this is already been mentioned from the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, is number 3485, which means to dwell, a fane, shrine, or temple, and fane just means a shrine or temple. It's a repetition, synonymous. Now, where did that quote come from? I didn't put the quote in, sorry. That might be early writings, but I don't have it there. Or did I have it there and I didn't quote it? Life Sketches. Yeah, Life Sketches, page 218. Okay, so here's another one. After we beheld the glory of the temple, so it makes it clear it's a temple, like Jesus does, we went out and Jesus left us and went to the city. So the city's obviously separate from, the city of God's obviously separate from Mount Zion and the eight hills and where the temple sits. After we beheld the glory of the temple, we went out and Jesus left us and went to the city. Soon we heard his lovely voice again saying, come my people, you have come out of great tribulation and have done my will and suffer for me. Come to the marriage supper, for I will gird myself and serve you. We shouted hallelujah, glory, and entered into the city. Perhaps through our own gates, each applying to ourselves. And I saw a table of pure silver, it was many miles in length, and our eyes could extend over it. I saw the fruit of the tree of life, manna, almonds, figs, pomegranates, grapes, and many other kinds of fruit. I asked Jesus to let me eat of the fruit. He said, not now, those who eat of the fruit of this land go back to earth no more. But in a little while, if faithful, you shall both eat of the fruit of the tree of life and drink of the water of the fountain. And he said, you must go back to earth again and relate to others what I have related to you. Then an angel bore me gently down to this dark world. And that's from Life Sketches, page 217. That's actually the same quote, isn't it? I think I've done a repeat. But you can see clearly that there is a temple that's outside that Jesus speaks of in Revelation. And of course, the spirit of prophecy quite well agrees with it.
Have you ever smelled a fig tree when it's got blossoms on it? It has the most delightful smell even before the figs come out. You know it's a fig tree because of the way it smells. It's just amazing.
Amen. Amen. I've got two fig trees. It's winter, so no leaves on it. Amen, sis. So you can see here, I'm talking about the gate that everyone goes through, but that's the initial, initial entrance time. But after that, they go through their own gate attributable to character of the various children of Israel that made up the 12 tribes, which two are dropped from the list. You can see here that there's no contradiction. I mentioned the other quote because they were talking about the heavenly sanctuary dealing with sin, and of course there won't be a temple that deals with that, which is very good news because that would like be perpetuating sin through all time, and I know the devil would love people to think that, or think there's no heavenly sanctuary at all dealing with the sin problem now, because deceiving people into thinking it was all done on the cross, so I don't have to obey God. Trust and obey. No other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. They would have it mean, no, I am allowed now, I have a license to sin, which is just utter foolishness. And will cause one to end up killed, dead, murdered.
Amen. Amen. You know, I wonder if that central gate, if it's the from the tribe of Judah. But anyways, I wonder if that central gate into heaven is larger than the other 11 gates. So that would make that center gate depicted as a main entrance into heaven, even though there's 11 other gates that enter into heaven, if you understand. But if that central gate is larger, then that would be indicative of it being sort of a main entrance compared to the other 11. Just a thought.
Yeah, I hear you, bro. I suppose it, because the names are on the gates, if it's not any bigger or there's nothing any different, I mean, other than the fact that it's very glorious, I suppose the connection, the correlation, understanding would be, oh, that's because that's the tribe our Lord came from, Judah. That would stand out by itself. But yeah, there's going to be some... there's going to be everything to learn, isn't there? I mean, not to say we don't have the privilege of learning something of it now, but it doesn't take on our full contemplation right now, because we're dealing with, you know, life on this earth, but it buoys up our hope. We have enough to be buoyed up in our hope, because our faith is not based on shifting sand, but on the Lord, our God. Well, here's a quote or two or three from the Spirit of Prophecy on this verse. Slight repetition on the top part of this first verse, but quotation. But would someone like to read them? It's not that long, but I've put them together weeks or months gone by, and I've inserted them. And I thought, well, we'll read them, because they're very informative, very biblical.
Amen. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Revelation 21:22. The people of God are privileged to hold open communion with the Father and the Son. Now we see through a glass darkly. 1 Corinthians 13:12. We behold the image of God reflected as in a mirror in the works of nature and in his dealings with men. But then we shall see him face to face without a dimming veil between. We shall stand in his presence and behold the glory of his countenance. There the redeemed shall know, even as also they are known, the loves and sympathies which God himself has planted in the soul shall there find truest and sweetest exercise. The pure communion with holy beings, the harmonious social life with the blessed angels and with the faithful ones of all ages who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The sacred ties that bind together the whole family in heaven and earth. Ephesians 3:15. these help to constitute the happiness of the redeemed. Great Controversy, page 676 and 677. Before entering the city of God, the Savior bestows upon his followers the emblems of victory and invests them with the insignia of their royal state. That's Great Controversy, page 645. Before the ransomed throng is the holy city. Jesus opens wide the pearly gates, and the nations that have kept the truth enter in. There they behold the paradise of God, the home of Adam in his innocency. Then that voice, richer than any music that ever fell on mortal ear, is heard saying, "Your conflict is ended. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's Great Controversy, page 646.
Amen. And that's interesting, the last quote you just read, because clearly it's got the plural. Great Controversy was for the public, and they know that there's 12 gates in the city. It would seem she got it. It's interesting how she's worded that, isn't it? I don't think it's a huge contradiction. They end up the same place, the initial door, gate or gates. But I think it's, to ask you all, what are those three? I mean, this is a memory test. What are those emblems of victory that are invested upon the saved? What are the three things the Lord gives his saved people? Amen. Palm branches, or palm branch, doesn't matter, single or plural. But a palm branch, yeah, is like singling victory, and we got the harps, and what's that other precious thing he gives? So you've got the palm branches, the harps, and of course the angels actually bring this to Jesus. You can read this in, it's probably early writings, and something like, well, obviously the three pamphlets that made that book up in the 1880s. Yeah, that's true. We're given the entrance to the city. That's true, but we actually wear it. Yeah, and you know what I mean now. It's not a trick question, but there's three things Jesus is given by the angels: palm branches, the harps, and the wreath or the crown. Amen. And so that's what he gives, and that's the emblems of the victory and investing in the insignia of their royal estate. I guess that could be taken different way, that verse in Great Controversy. But of course it does involve three things, and the angels happily give this to Jesus. It must take a while, but what a blessing. Take it as long as you take, because God's timing's perfect. It's been said, well, you know, like, time's eternal, so it doesn't matter how long you take to do things. But even then, I think it still takes on, obviously, we do want to make it to the city. But his ways are the best. He's above time, space, and dimension. He's the creator of it, and he's not limited to it. We are, but he's going to let us have the blessings that the unfallen have. Looking forward to that. How exciting. Welcome back, Brother Joel. Sorry you've been getting nudged out. Yeah, amen. That's a very good point. No one will get tired. They won't get bored. They won't be impatient. And with that last comment, because they've learned not to be impatient here, there's one thing that that lacks in this world. You see patient people, people that go to a hospital are called patients, but if we're not patient and trusting in Jesus, it would be a terrible place to live with all people being impatient. The grace is God. I think Jerome is bringing this out. You know, Jesus dwelling inside us on the throne of the heart, controlling us freely and us allowing him. No one, not even persecution or the threat of death and death itself, can take away the peace we have of allowing our conscience to be subordinate to Jesus instead of the devil. And the devil knows this. Though he tries to trick people into thinking you can never have that experience, you can never be a real Christian, yet it is true and Christ has commanded it. And the choice is ours. Praise God. Does anyone have any further thoughts, any questions, comments, insights they'd like to share on what we've talked about, looked at, or perhaps that's inspired you in some other direction on what we've looked at so far? All right. Well, next week, I think we'll leave it there for this week. And next week, we'll pick it up at the next verse and look into it further. What awaits the saved? What awaits those who are preparing here, who are singing the songs and devotion to Jesus, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit? That they don't have to learn in heaven because they've been doing it here. But there will be that new song, the song of experience of the 144,000 that no one else could sing with the experience that goes with it. How exciting. Is there any testimonies, any requests, any praises and prayers anyone wants to share with us all?
Michelle is with her sister at the moment, and she wanted me to tell everybody that she sends her love and hugs, and we'll see her on Friday, and of course, Sabbath. And to give you an update on what's happening with the website, it is still offline, but a little bit of progress is taking place. Not really sure why it still hasn't shown up online, but I may decide to go to another hosting company. And maybe they will have less problem getting the site online. And maybe by that time, the hosting site I'm with now that is failing will get their act together or figure out why there's such a problem in showing a website when all the files are there. I guess it wouldn't hurt to have a backup. And maybe that's what the Lord is looking for, to have two different places that can host the site. And when one fails, all I have to do is switch it over to the other one. But we continue to solicit your prayers. Praise God that He's in control. And there's always a blessing to be discovered when things look the darkest. There's the sun shining above the clouds, and so we know that God is in control in this situation. Another thing that has come up is that the emails to Light Ministry and to me are no longer functioning. So I'm going to have to find a different email account to open up and connect it with the ministry, but I can't let anyone know about it at the moment until I have that email account. So that is another hiccup in the works. And so thank you for your prayers in that area as well. So you can definitely see that the devil is angry and is doing what he can to shut the ministry down. But again, God is greater. He is in control. And I'm looking forward to discovering the great victory that will come out of all of this.
Oh, well, thank you for sending Sister Michelle's that info. We appreciate that. We miss her as well. And anyone else that couldn't make it, I heard from Sister Joan in prayer. It looks like Brother Dick has hurt himself. Hopefully the treatment goes well so he can be back with both eyes normal. Glad to hear that unfortunate information, bro, but we will definitely keep that in prayer that, it only be these issues that are being brought to bear on your ministry that will only tend to the furtherance of the gospel, like the chief priests and elders were trying and striving to hide the truth and news, the greatest news of the resurrection. That the more they did it, the more it got proclaimed and believed because of what they were doing. So what they were trying to do, they made it extend further because of their actions, which were evil. Yeah. And well, I'll let you know regarding my mum. We're having a memorial on Sunday. We're not doing it the traditional way. My sisters have... Well, three of them have thought that it'd be a good idea to have it as a memorial, and we probably won't have Mum's ashes by then, but that's okay. We can just, it doesn't really make a difference, so we're going to have a memorial. And Jen, one of my sisters, asked me to do the eulogy, so Lord willing, I might finish that today, send it to them if they want to add anything or they don't like something or think it would be better this way or that way. I pray that the truth of God, because we're going to have tributes, I pray that the truth of God won't be squashed in the process of talking about my mum and seeking to honour her, but not dishonour the truth at the same time. So... thank you for keeping that in prayer. I am blessed. I said to Lucy, I said it would be really good Luce, I really want to put booklets on the chair, but I don't know how my family's going to react. It's a bit different having a memorial because we probably won't have ushers. So I thought, you get there and they might be upset and cry. So I thought I'd just send a text and request and say, hey, we've got a request and I asked them, I'd like to put a booklet, a small booklet on the, and maybe I could put the track, the longer, A4 on them as well. And I said, I'd like to put that on the chairs. And, I sent it to three of my sisters that were, came up with the idea of what they want to do for Mum's, memorial. And, I got two responses. I don't take that negative that I didn't hear from my eldest, but the two, one said, that'd be great. I know Mum would want that. Something like that is really good. And the other said, oh yeah, that's fine with me. That's great. Thanks, James. So that was good to while you're preparing the eulogy and the thing. It's good to get little bits of information like that. And so we'll see what happens. I was starting to think maybe I should tell the story I told you all on Sabbath about my last time with Mum as part of my tribute. I don't know. I'm going to read it to Lucy when I'm finished it and see what she thinks and whether it's worth going into that detail. I mean, most of the people that will be attending are not Christians, but that doesn't change anything, really. But it's about Mum, but it doesn't have to just be about Mum, but I mean, we're facing death. We're all facing it, and a lot of them, obviously, older than me, my relatives, and some are even facing death themselves. My uncle John, he's got prostate cancer, and he's not well. He's been told he doesn't have a long time, maybe a year or two. So I'm hoping that they would be stirred to think about death, what it is, why it happens. What happened, where it came from, and, maybe people will roll their eyes, but if I see that and I'm looking at them, I pray that I have the grace to just keep going and, not smile and not be snarling at them, but, talk about it like, my mum heard those words as well, and now she is no longer, but, and I hope that what are you going to do with those words? Because we're all going to end up there. And, what are you going to do with the truth? So I don't know exactly. I'd like to give a quote or two from Sister White. Maybe not necessarily. Yeah, I'm going to mention it because I'm going to try to boost, wow, the most translated female author. You read that to your mum? Yeah, really? And of both sexes of America? Yeah, just get a bit of interest, help them see what some of the things they got to share with her. I don't know if I should share the tribute, the thing I shared with you all, but I have written it down because I was impressed. Maybe I should, because no one in my family, some of them asked what happened. And as I was starting to tell them, I got interrupted and it never came back. And I was aware of that. And I thought, and I didn't even get to tell Johnny. So I was going to tell Johnny because I'm not going to see him at the funeral. He's not going to come, but miracles happen and maybe he just might come for Mum, but I just thought maybe that could be a time to tell them because no one seems to really, I guess it's not really that important. I mean, I know what the end result is, but I wish it would mean more to them. As I was saying to Dasanka yesterday, someone who's left the SDA church, but she's left it for very different reasons why we did. I said to her, the thought's just gone. I have so many thoughts thinking. If I remember it, I'll share it. But just, I appreciate your prayers. I think I certainly don't feel alone in mourning. Some people have asked, how are you coping? And I said, mourning with hope. And, that's what I said to Dasanka. I said, Dasanka, I feel like sharing things that, with others, believers or not, because there are people that are dead and they don't even know it. And they're breathing. They've got a heartbeat, but they're dead. They're dead to God. They're dead to the world. They're dead to the promises of God. They're dead to his power in their life, their power to change and give them a new life. So you're preaching to the dead, but in the hope that they hear the voice of God and wake up and wake out of their, you know, how do you say it? Their, you know, breaking the first and second commandment, their imagination that they have of God that is not according to his word, that just seems to be so prevalent, especially today. I guess it's bigger because of tech and having nearly 9 billion people on the planet. But, yeah, okay. You'll have to sing it on the page Wide and Fair song. Is it, have you got that, Brother Bob?
Oh, you, you haven't heard that song? Let me look it up here. This is terrible. Elder Robert knows the melody. It goes, Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? I don't know if you can, oh, there it is. Yeah. Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom is my name written there. Brucini. Are you gonna sing it, Elder Robert?
Yeah, I'll sing it. For some reason, this page is really weird. The site, it throws all that up at the top and it won't, oh, there we go. I had to click off of that.
Okay. All right.
There we go. Yeah. I had to click off of that advertisement and then everything's working good.
Okay.
Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom, with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Is my name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? Lord, my sins there are many, like the sands of the sea. But thy blood, O my Savior, is sufficient for me. For thy promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow. Is my name written there on the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom? Is my name written there? Oh, that beautiful city with its mansions of light, with its glorified beings in pure garments of white, where no evil thing cometh to despoil what is fair, where the angels are watching. Yes, my name's written there. Yes, my name's written there on the page white and fair in the book of thy kingdom. Yes, my name's written there.
Well, that was a wonderful choice. I think I have heard that, but it's so good to hear it and try to learn it myself. Thank you, dear bro. It was beautiful. Aren't they so uplifting, the words, because they're all true and much more. Oh, that's a question I wanted to ask you, bro Bob. I think, the Zoom, how we got in today, not via the website, but via the Zoom link, will that be staying the same when the issues with the website is back up and running? Because I was thinking I could just send a text and hopefully get Val on the phone and tell her, if you just tap that, Val, that's all you have to do, and then you're online. Well, you have to press join the meeting. Hopefully she works that out, and then she'll be online. She'll be in the room. Is that – oh, sorry, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, the link to the Zoom room is always going to remain the same until I close the account. So that link will always be the same regardless of whether the website is up or down or with a different host or whatever it may be. That was one reason why I wanted to go with Zoom, is it's always the same link. You know, you can change it from week to week if you want, but I chose to keep it the same and just give that standard link. So that there won't be any problem with you sending that older link to the sister. She'll be able to get in.
Oh, thank you for that. She hasn't mentioned anything. I haven't heard from her since she and I joined them Sabbath morning. So I think everything's hard. I think the older we get, everything's hard. That's the impression I'm getting. But she's joyful, you know, growing gracefully, and I'm grateful. Wow, you got through in the website, had to leave, and then was sent to the – oh. Well, praise the Lord, sis. Well, I'm glad you could join us. We just finished our Revelation chapter 21, verse 22. We only got one verse ahead, but the information is fascinating as we continue our journey. Well, there is something else I want to ask you all. Well, actually, there's a couple of things. I mentioned Sister Desanka. She's a sister, she was a Seventh-day Adventist for over 20 years, and she left the SDA church. But she didn't leave it because it was an apostasy, but she left it really because she didn't, I think she's believing things that are based on Babylon as well, which would make you think, well, why doesn't she stay there? But it's basically she's rejecting the four angels' messages, or at least three, and she didn't even know about the fourth. And I shared with her the gospel yesterday while we were talking, because she didn't know if I'd be up to talking. And I said, I didn't answer your phone the other day because I was actually engaged in my mind, but I was planning to ring you, and I'm grateful you gave your time just now. And I was trying to share with her that she always had an answer for her position. And I said, well, if we can prove it from the Bible, the law and the testimony, we would be fine. And she was trying to share with me that the Lord knows my heart, and if I end up lost and I'm in the lake of fire, well, that's the Lord's will. I can't deny it. So she's making it sound like we could be doing the wrong thing on purpose or not on purpose, and we end up lost. I said, you know, it reminds me of a statement someone once said. It's easier to be saved than it is to be lost, but it's only for the one that's willing to trust their all with Jesus. If you're not going to trust your all, you're not going to experience that it's easier to be saved than it is to be lost. But she agreed. We had a good conversation, but she thinks we've got to be independent atoms without saying it. And I said, well, you know, do you know what's stopping Jesus from coming? Because most Christians want Jesus to come in the clouds of heaven, and you explain the way he comes so they don't get it mixed up with Satan, who's going to masquerade as Jesus Christ, that he takes them up to him, not keeps them down here and does all sorts of things. And she said, well, what, James? And I said, well, it's the whole everlasting gospel that has to go to the whole world, which includes and is within the four angels' messages, the last message of mercy. And I walked her through some of them, and it was like she'd never heard it before. Now, I know she has heard some of it, but I said, you know, there's that big one about the commandments of God, and even if you believe and have all the commandments of God and you understand them, then there's the belief that we can't keep them anyway. She wasn't so sure about where I was coming from there. Her first language is not English, but she speaks it well. And I said, and then there's that corporate part, you know, it come out of her, my people, that you receive not of, that you be not partakers of her sins and receive not of her plagues. If you're not departing out and you're not giving that message to others, you're really a part of another side that has not Christ as its leader. I hope she takes it to heart. It was interesting this week. I just had an opportunity a couple of weeks ago to look at some books that were given to me, really big books, one this big and the other not so big. I said to Lucy, you know, I'm happy to read them, but I know just by skimming, I already know that obviously it's written by people in Babylon, but they might have some really good points to bring out nevertheless. But with all the other things I could be reading and that would be more nutritious, I don't feel inclined to read it. So I said, why don't I just contact the people that gave it? Contacted their emails, contacted their phone number, no message. And I asked them, have you read The Great Controversy I've given them? And so I think maybe that's part of a sign. Perhaps I don't have to read it. I've written a note. I've scanned it. You can scan a book. You can look at every page without actually spending the time reading every single word on the page. Lucy's taught me one way. There's a couple of ways. Is she listening? Yes. Oh, she's nodding her head. Yes. She's going to show me the other way. If that's done properly, it's a really cool technique. She said, if it's written properly, a book, the first sentence will describe the rest of the paragraph. So if you just read that, it's like you read the paragraph. Now that's still quite a bit to read, depending on the size of the book, but you can do it that way. I didn't do it with these books. This just quite like that. I did it a bit less involved, but if the Lord wants me to have to do that, then I'll do. But I do want to ask you something. Something that came up was the activities that we could do. And I said to Lucy, you know, we could do things for Christ, like go to chat rooms and online, and you can witness, like why we do online, but it won't be people of the same faith, or it might be people maybe close to the same faith or totally far out from the same, but from the faith, but you can text, hopefully they let you do that. And that is one way, without even leaving home, that can be probably as close to reality as possible. And I was wondering, I think I don't have to wonder. I know some of you have done.
And do you have any suggestions of chat rooms? And are they only really on Sabbath and maybe one other day of the week? Maybe it's a prayer meeting or that. Has anyone done much research, had much experience going to chat rooms that are different denominations maybe? Maybe they're home churches. Maybe they're not with us in the whole faith. I put that out to you. Maybe it's a better question on Sabbath because there's more of you here, but I've shared it now. Thank you for listening.
I have a little experience. It wasn't so much in a set meeting as it was more in a social gathering. There was a social Christian platform 15 years ago called Cyber Grace. And you log into that and it had a selection of all the different kind of rooms that had been created. And out of those rooms, you picked the one you wanted to go into. And then there would be people talking about all kinds of different religious subjects and you were able to share and to witness and so on. I found it really stressful myself. because it's such a different atmosphere. There's a lot more combativeness in there because people aren't coming in with their real names. You're not seeing them face to face. It's all done in text. And there was just a lot of that type of combativeness. So I didn't do it too much. But Michelle, on the other hand, the Lord has blessed her with a way of being able to deal with that type of an atmosphere without, being stressed out, I guess it was. She was able to find the individuals that she could private message or perhaps talk to on the side. That she was able to witness to and to become friends with and be able to share more in that, setting. So she's the one that could give you a lot of pointers in that. But she's not here, but I don't think Cyber Grace is still around, but that was one of the first ones that came out back in the early 90s. That dealt with that type of social atmosphere. But you have, even though it was called Cyber Grace, you'd have individuals come in there from all different kind of religions, and you had spiritualistic people in there through Mormonism and also through the Bahá'í faith or Bahá'í faith or so on. And they had moderators that could go into any room, and if they didn't like what you were sharing, they would warn you or take away your ability to text where you can just listen or actually ban you. So there was some moderation, but of course it was all geared upon the religious beliefs of the moderators. So even though you may be sharing the truth about the Sabbath in there, if they were a staunch Sunday keeper, they would censor you, so, but Michelle could tell you quite a bit more.
Oh, thank you for that, bro. Thank you. Well, Lord willing, I've made a note. I'll ask Michelle as well online. Put her on the spot, maybe. We won't tell her. No, give her a heads up, bro. That sounds interesting, exciting, because Lucy was asking, you know, what things could we do? And I remember we were having this conversation. We thought, well, we could go to elderly homes. We could go start a prison ministry. You had to be vaxxed. by that time, and you have to, and Lucy did that for a little while before the you had to get the flu shot and then the COVID experimental vaccine. And then the prison ministry, you need, you know, insurance, and they don't get back to you anyway. But there's always a ministry, even from the sidelines. You don't have to visit the prison. You just send it when you know there's someone in there by their name, and then they get the information that they need. But I will definitely take that. And I was thinking of this. I said, Lucy, there is one up. There is another way. Something comes to mind. It's chat rooms or just visiting websites. You can send them text and links and that. But if you really want to make it like interactive, maybe they're doing Zoom rooms. And so I suppose that's beyond cyber grace, but they, I don't know if Nicholas Petula uses this avenue now. I know in his day, that sounds funny. When we were all meeting up, on his site at times, I don't think he had this capacity to view, or he didn't choose to. But it certainly brings it more alive, doesn't it? If everyone's, you can see one another. So I mentioned that to Luce, not necessarily that she wants to be always on camera, but it does make it more real. It's, you know, it's obviously quite interactive, but I think I hear what you're saying. I was just thinking background noise, all this different diversion of attention, and sounds interesting. I've only done it with those in the faith. But that of the faith, but I think I was at one on Facebook, and there was someone, oh, the Mazak, Mr. Mazak, Brother Mazak. Well, I wish he remained a strong brother. He's in the East, but he had his own little chat room. I went to one of them. Anyway, thank you for that, bro. I will keep that in mind. I appreciate that, that link. It's finding what works, and finding when right timing in that. And we know there's differences of timelines in that, but I'm sure there's a number of them already in Australia, although Australia doesn't have that many people. 25 million compared to, you know, hundreds of million on much smaller land. That's the world. Yeah. Well, is there any last thoughts. Anything further anyone would like to share before we have a season of prayer?
Yeah, big hugs to you and Lucy.
I just told her what you shared. She didn't quite hear you. She's a little bit away from us, but I told her, and she said, oh, big hugs back. Big hugs back. She's been feeling quite tired and, not so strong on the legs. So, oh, and she's with us for the whole week, which is great. That's kind of, we'll go together to the memorial on Sunday and, let's have a word of prayer. Let's have a season of prayer. Precious Father in heaven, thank you for your unchanged word. Thank you for letting us take the promises and apply them to ourselves, trusting in you, just like they did thousands of years before us. Thank you for faithful recorded history that doesn't whitewash anything, sugarcoat anything, but tells it how it is, and is also so blunt about how great your love is in the imperfect language that we speak and read, our mother tongues. Thank you for making it possible to see something of glimpses of the world to come, of the New Jerusalem, and of you and the Lamb, and also the Holy Spirit, that I pray we will be blessed to understand more of each. God and the Godhead, the Godhood of you each.
as we continue our journey, among other salvational issues, to the advancement of your cause in our lives and in the lives of others with whom we have to do. Bless the efforts to increase our presence in this world. We must have, I mean, that's the way we see it. We must have light ministries back on the World Wide Web. It must come back on. Thank you that the other website has not had issues with the precious information light that it has, and may it have perhaps a bigger presence than if the both were online, but especially that this issue and problem, things will be learned that will only strengthen your cause and have greater impact in this world to compel the darkness to flee, that you would use all of us as channels to brighten this world and cause the darkness to be seen for what it is, nothing of God's making, and no one has to remain in it if they really want to admit your word for them. Though being so kind, you're so gentle with us, explaining what causes death, explaining its origin of evil, the consequences, and the remedy and the plan of redemption that so many people, maybe they have a surface understanding of it, but that they would go further than the surface understanding, because this surface understanding is so fickle. It's like we have a little understanding and then a bird snatches away the precious seed of truth because we don't, either don't understand it, or that we are quick to rejoice in it, but because we don't have strong rooting, we die away when persecution comes of any sort. Or the thorny ground where the things of this world choke the things of God and his word in the life. We want to be the very last, which happens to be the best, the only choice, as opposed to the other three, which is for the devil and his kingdom, and that is the good ground, the good soil, that the Holy Spirit can work in. Please bless Sister Joan to recover her voice. Thank you that we could hear it, nevertheless, but give her voice back. We want to hear her sing again with joy, without pain in doing so. Please help bless Sister Michelle to be the blessing Paula, her sister, needs, and may she be blessed herself in having that close time as sister to sister in visiting her. And may Paula be more open to the truth, truth that does not change and is actually for us if we accept it, but not for us if we only know about it and do nothing with it. Help our dear brother Dick with the treatment that he's taking. Contribute to him recovering his eyesight and the pain that he must have suffered with the accident that he's had, and that he might be able to join us soon with ease and have rejoicing on his lips. Thank you for making it possible to have brothers and sisters of all age groups and to have one royal family, not two or three or ten, not this group, that group and the other, but one royal family who, through the grace of God, repent over God's broken law of Ten Commandments, have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, his atoning sacrifice, and his power to blot out our sins for good in the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. Help us make the very best and most of the time that we are granted, whether we're preparing for bed and in prayer or going forth doing various things, and be with those who are mourning as well. Maybe it's over trials. Maybe it's over people that are no longer. That we will not be of those who mourn without hope, because your word assures it. And while we can't do anything for the dead that are physically dead as well as mentally, spiritually, morally, we can do something with your help, because you've done it for us and we want you to continue doing it for us, that we might help others who are dead spiritually, morally, bankrupt, because they're relying on themselves. Maybe they don't even know it. Either or, that they might see that God's word is life to the receiving, to the receiver, and that we might attend to their needs, who are physically, they have a heartbeat, they breathe, but they are dead to God and the world to come and his precious promises to the commonwealth of spiritual Israel. Thank you for doing more than we ask or think, and bring us together again soon for Sabbath fellowship. And may Val and Brother Peter, Sister Val and Peter and others, years gone back, that if they're impressed, they're still impressible, join us and make the most of the time to make a part of their life, fellowship with other brothers and sisters in the faith, like-minded, that we can receive the blessing heaven intends to fulfill the prayer of Christ, that we may be one as Christ is with the Father. In Jesus, your Son, we pray. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for hearing our prayers and for knowing what's in our hearts. And we ask that at the memorial, they send a whole army of angels to protect and to make a way for the word of God, the truth, to reach the hearts of the people. Keep the devil and his angels out of the area. We ask that you will be with Sister Lucy. Help her to recover from her tiredness. Give her the strength she needs. And bless her with the wisdom that you give. Be with Brother Dick. Help him to recover from his eye injury. And thank you so much for doing these things, even without being asked. But it helps us, you know, when we ask and we know you're a God that answers prayers. Thank you for that assurance. Be with Brother James and Lucy. Keep them safe. Keep the families safe. Give us over here a good night's rest. And thank you, dear Lord, for loving each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you're in control of thy work and all of its different facets. Thank you for allowing your word to be fulfilled and to accomplish the purpose for which it was given, that it will not return void. Thank you so much that we can leave all of these perplexing issues with you to take care of, to deal with, and help us with the extra wisdom to know what to do and what not to do and when to do it or not to do it, as well as the patience and the grace to allow you to work upon hearts, work upon equipment, work upon all the various electronic facets and areas to allow thy perfect will to be accomplished. Thank you again for thy great love, and that we're a day closer to the next Sabbath, and this coming Sabbath will be a high Sabbath. Thank you for being with us tonight and allowing us the honor and the privilege to come together with others of like faith, with loved ones and fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and to have your presence among us to bless us and to encourage us and to enable us to draw closer to thee and to others of like faith. Be with us now as we part, and help us to keep looking up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, brethren and sisters. Lucy says amen. So we won't be with you for your foot washing and communion. It's your Sabbath. It's the Sabbath. That's the 15th. And you're having it. Or is it? Lord, tomorrow night. So 15th for you. So we will be having it a week after probably. But I'm looking forward to meeting you all on the Friday night evening for you. And Sabbath for you, Brother Joel. Well, are there any last thoughts before we sing ourselves away on behalf of Brother Dick and our own souls?
This study of Revelation has been so enlightening. I've read Revelation before, but hearing what everyone is thinking and what people, I know I've been inspired to say certain things. I believe that the Holy Spirit is there with us. And that's a real blessing in itself. It's just a real blessing of God's promise that says wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there with you. So what a very special thing to meet with everyone, heavenly and earthly, of the same mind. Thank you, Brother James, for bringing that to us, and Sister Lucy. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for making it possible and making it so interesting. As you say, it's so fascinating to see what others have gotten over the years or what they've found recently and hear their notes and their insights, their questions. Even if we don't have answers. But it's inspiring. And I think, you know, if you can fellowship and you're saying no to it, there's going to be a loss involved. And Paul once wrote, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is. There was already that issue in his day. And of course, there's that temptation. Still, you remind me, sister, I've been reading a book called Revelations in Revelation, and I've already got like about this much
notes on things that I've got to look at closer since we started the book of Daniel, since we started the book of Revelation. And I thought, well, I've got to go through it all over again and then add more notes. And I almost feel like I'm not complete to, I think I got two requests for Revelation 17 not long ago. And, it's hard when you think, wow, but I could express that so differently now because I've got a bit older. I guess you never get to a point. Well, hopefully you do, depending where you can just say, no, that's a good presentation. It's covered every point, but it is fun. And I think we all should have note taking place and contributing to our spiritual need, especially to help us to know where to find that information again and understand it quickly. It's very helpful. You might not remember everything identically, but if you know where to find it, that's with the help of the Holy Spirit, part of knowing how to defend the truth. It's been a privilege to be with you. Oh, you want to talk, sis? Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say it's kind of like reviewing the pictures you took on vacation. A lot of times when you're in a beautiful place, you drink in the beauty, but you don't describe it to yourself in words. But then when you look at the picture, you not only remember the beauty that was there, you can say, wow, that's so beautiful. Oh, look at that. I missed that before. So the study's like a photograph of what you learned before, and the more times you study it, the more photographs you have in your thinking. It's a perpetual blessing.
It's well put. May it continue as long as we breathe. Breathing in the Holy Spirit, spiritually speaking. Well, take care. We'll see you again, Lord willing, very soon. And would someone like to sing the song, Keep Looking Up, when we'll sing it all with you? Do you want to all sing it once? I don't know if that'll work. But it's been a blessing and privilege to be with you all, and Lord willing, we'll meet again on Sabbath. Yeah. Will you join me, Luz?
Yeah,
sort of. Yeah, well, why don't I come over there? You don't want me to come over there? Okay, sorry. You want to sing, bro, Bob? You want to go, mate?
Okay. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.